This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What's it do for you that the front office, the coaches have said, you're going to get the first crack at this, that they're, you know, confident in you, that they believe you can win this job out of spring?
Yeah, I mean, that's amazing. That's all you could ask for. So something I really look forward to. It's going to be a really exciting spring. It should be a lot of fun. And, you know, I think it's just a little bit different, having better relationships, feeling a little more comfortable. So I'm definitely excited.
We're back with more Judson Richards on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
All right, that was the voice of Matt Shaw. You know, it had to be an interesting couple of weeks, right? Couple of days. A lot of people had Matt Shaw really given a chance. Once they traded Isak Paredes, he thought, okay, this is going to be Matt Shaw's job. And then it's like, wait a minute. Alex Bregman, one of the best third basemen all around baseball, could also potentially be on the Cubs, which would drastically change the life and times of Matt Shaw, but they did not get Alex Bregman, so a good chance. Now, it could be Matt Shaw, who's got a bit of an oblique strain, a guy that has seen a lot of Matt Shaw. We'll let him talk some about Shaw and what we could expect, as Alex Cohen, the voice of the Iowa Cubs, joins us on Valentine's on a Friday night, 8 o'clock. Alex, this is a real solid by you.
You know what? What better way to take in the latter half of Valentine's Day than talking baseball with you? So,
were you just hoping I'd ask you about the Philadelphia Eagles?
You know, you can if you want to. It puts a smile on my face. But the fact that we're talking about baseball right now and it's like 8 degrees outside, it's making me feel better about the next couple months. So we could talk football, we could talk baseball, anything but the cold.
Yeah, you know, I hadn't turned around for like 2 hours, and then Sean said in my ears, like, I think it's snowing. I turned around, and it is just covered in white. I'm like, no, it is definitely snowing outside. So I think it's going to be a snowy weekend here in Chicago. So let's think about sunny times. Let's think about being out at Wrigley, or even, I don't know, being out in Arizona, if that may be some plans of people in Chicago. Let's talk about Matt Shaw. Do you think that he's ready for this? Only 35 games, I believe, at the AAA level. Is Shaw ready to be, you know, a legitimate rookie big leaguer? I mean, be able to give Craig Counsell enough day in, day out, if that's the direction they go?
I think he's ready. I mean, there's going to be peaks and valleys that go along with a rookie season. Do I think that he's going to be a four and a half war player like Alex Bregman's been over the last 3 years? I mean, that would be tough to expect, but, you know, Shaw is a legitimate 20 homer, 20, 25 stolen base type of player. I mean, if you watch him, you know, throughout his time in minor league baseball, he's played just under 162 games. I think it's like 156 or 159. He has 46 stolen bases. He can really run. So I think his energy, what he can bring to the table on the bases, his speed, his athleticism is really underrated. He's a guy who was a college shortstop and tried to move to second base. His instincts are more left side of the infield. So I do think a move to third base and being the primary third baseman for the Chicago Cubs is better than being the second baseman, because I do think that his instincts on the left side of the infield are a lot better. He improved enormously throughout the season. And then he went down to play for Team USA in the Premier 12. And he was arguably the best player in the tournament. And talking to, you know, players on that roster, talking to coaches on that roster, Mike Socha was the manager, said he's been our best defensive player. Not only did he hit over 500, but he was their best defensive player as well. So I think if the growth over the last 6 months is any indication, it's going to be a learning process. Will he be a Gold Glover right away? Probably not. Will he be a five-war player right away? Probably not. Will he be a legitimate big league starting third baseman by the end of the season? I think yes.
Let's talk about Pete Crow Armstrong a little bit, because he had, you know, virtually two different seasons, and the back half of that was exceptional, right? Like, the back half of that is the dream scenario where he's going to save you runs in center field. He's going to earn you a ton of runs because of that speed. What did you make of what PCA did at the big league level? And was that something that you saw coming a mile away, or does he still have things to work on as far as being disciplined in the plate?
I mean, all of the above. If you talk to people when he was coming up through the Cubs system, you were talking to certain coaches who don't throw out lofty comparisons all that often when it comes to prospects, and still being like, when I think of him, I think of Kenny Lofton. And wow. That's a big one right there. You know, for a guy who is a borderline Hall of Famer, probably should be a Hall of Famer, and to hear multiple coaches say that's the comp, that's a big one right there. Now, obviously, 22 years old, he's somebody that is learning day in, day out how to hit in the big leagues. I don't think defense will ever be the question. I think his floor is a Kevin Kiermaier type of player. I think his ceiling is 2025 version of Kenny Lofton. So, I mean, that's a big one right there.
What do you think of his hair?
I don't have any hair, so I have no ground to stand on. But, yeah, I mean, if you have it, want it. Yeah, if you want to dye a blue star into your hair, I mean, I haven't been able to do that since Y2K. I'm jealous. So.
Yeah, he came out with he did the bleach blonde and the three blue stars. I don't know if that's him claiming an all-star. Listen, I'm a 90s kid. I love Sugar Ray's. I Just Want to Fly with the black. And, you know, I did it all, so I can't hate on it. But, you know, I've heard people say, well, you better be good if you're going to do that. It's like a starting center fielder for the Cubs, right? Like, dye your hair. Like, I
22 years old.
I don't want PCA. I don't want PCA to not be himself in fear of failing, right? That's why he's kind of the guy that he is.
He's such a lightning rod. I mean, when he is going well and he is confident and at the plate, he's able to, you know, waste bad pitches and or waste good pitches and hit bad ones. He's a 5-6 WAR player. He's a lightning rod. He is a game winner. He's a division winner, in my opinion.
No one. Have you mentioned on the broadcast that his dad was a very good football player at Naperville Central?
I have not mentioned that yet. That might be for the next spring training broadcast.
That'd yeah, I don't know why people never mention that. Maybe it's because I live in Naperville. And, like, you know, my kids are in line to go to Naperville Central. So for whatever reason, I was reading about what movies his parents were in as actors. And his dad was an all-conference linebacker at Naperville Central, and I've never heard anyone say that he's got local ties.
And that's a pretty fun fact, because if you look at Pete's build, he is not built like a linebacker by any stretch of the imagination. Obviously a really good athlete, but he never played football. You know, he was a guy that, you know, always wanted to be the Devin Hester of baseball, because all he did was play baseball.
Alex Cohen, voice of the Iowa Cubs, I'm just giving him material to make it through very, very long games of calling plays. Well, you're not going to get this. Well, you may get to say that about PCA, but if you could sneak that in there, a nod to Naperville Central, also the school that Sean Payton
I will
went
not only
to.
Shout out the school, I'll give you a shout out as well. So be killing two birds with one stone. Anything that we can do to help.
I'm going to keep going over Wikipedias now and see if I can come up with some more interesting stuff. Alex, let me know who else you find down on the farm that is pushing for Craig Counsell to put him in that lineup. Who could be next?
I mean, there's a couple players. I think from an offensive perspective, I think Moises Ballesteros, you know, is so advanced for his age. I mean, he was 20 years old for the majority of his year at AAA, and he was the best offensive catcher in the International League. So I think that's a pretty big deal. I think that he profiles as a plus hitter in the big leagues. And as a catcher, to be an all-star catcher, you have to go, it's one of three different ways. It's either you're good at everything, you can hit and you can catch, either you are a mediocre defensive catcher and you're an elite hitter, or you're an elite defensive catcher and a mediocre offensive catcher. And I think he's the second one. I think he could hit at the big leagues right now. I think that he's a better hitter and he profiles like Alejandro Kirk, but I think that he's a naturally better hitter. If he could be just an average catcher, which is tough. His build, he's 5'7", and he's got a lot to work on and not that much of a frame to do it. But if he could be a average defensive catcher, he's an all-star. So I think that's the guy that really sticks out to me. Owen Casey had a tremendous year in AAA Iowa. He led the team in hits. He led the team in runs scored. He led the team in games played. He led the team in runs batted in. And, you know, for somebody who was talked about as being so raw, you know, even when he was traded from San Diego to the Cubs in the Yu Darvish deal, it's like he's going to be a good player, but he's raw. In his 21 to 22-year-old year, he was the most consistent player on the Iowa Cubs at the AAA level. So I think that if he gets up to the big leagues, I mean, there's some Sean Casey comps to it when it comes to the swing. There's some James Loney in it as well. I think that he's a 10-year big leaguer. So I think given the opportunity, he goes up to the big leagues. Obviously, there's a lot of depth when it comes to Cubs outfielders. But, I mean, Owen Casey's a big leaguer and a long-time big leaguer. So I think those are the two guys that really stick out to me, that if Craig Counsell has to call upon them from the AAA ranks or out of spring training, I think they'll be able to produce.
Yeah, that's a good comp with Sean Casey. I like that one. Alex, looking at Wrigley Field, I've been thinking so much about the way that the ballpark played last year. Now, I don't know how often you felt an impact of it, but looking at this team, and when you called a game last year, were you very aware of how this was going to be much more of a pitcher-friendly ballpark than it was a hitter-friendly ballpark last year? Because I think that has a lot to do, or a lot of say, of what this team will look like and how different it could look than last year.
I mean, yes or no. I mean, I think that there's the law of averages when it comes to a 162-game season, and you play 81 games at home, that there's going to be games that you hit the ball well at home, and there's going to be games that you don't. I mean, for instance, second game that I called at Wrigley Field, Cubs put up 12 runs and hit 4 home runs. So I didn't see the lack of the hitter's park when I called that game. But then the next game, they gave up, you know, they only got 2 hits and, right, and scored 1 run. So I think it's just a matter of, man, you hope the wind blows out of Wrigley Field, but also, how's your team seeing the baseball? How are they reading scouting reports? You know, what's the offensive dynamic with the team? Who's healthy? Who's not? So I don't read that much into the hitter's park versus non-hitter's park. It's just the lineup gelling all at the right time.
I think I'm kind of beating around the bush here, but ultimately what I'm wondering is, can Shota Imanaga duplicate what he did last year? Because I think
he's done it every year that he's been on the mound as a professional, dating back to his time in the Nippon Baseball League. So he did it in Japan. He's done it in international baseball, and he did it in his first year of the big leagues. I think he's been pretty consistent. So obviously, as a fan, you're looking at where's the regression, where's the regression. He hasn't regressed yet, and he's done this at every single level. Do I expect him to go, 15-3 with a near 3 ERA? I mean, that would be pretty lofty, but do I think that his ERA will be in the low 3s? He'll average a strikeout per inning. His whip will be 1-1 below. I think that's a reasonable expectation.
Yeah, that's one of my X factors with the Pecota 90-plus wins. That would be ultimately one of my X factors because, you know, the ballpark, listen, Jed Hoyer referenced immediately at the end of the season how different the ballpark played. So you know what it affects offenses negatively. That in turn means that it's going to affect pitching positively. And mm-hmm. So as I look at Pecota's 90.6 wins, I do wonder ultimately how good the starting rotation can look if we're basing it off of the numbers that they had last year.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a really good question. I think that they have a pretty tough test to start the season. That'll be a nice benchmark when you go out to Japan and you play the defending World Series champions for 2 games, and then you start your season at Arizona, one of the most improved teams and also a really talented team. You know, it was 2 years removed from a World Series. So I think that you'll get some answers to your pitching questions, whether at home, whether or not, in the first 2 or 3 weeks. I mean, they'll be able to answer some just after the murderer's row of players and murderer's row of hitters and murderer's row of teams that they're facing off against early on in the season.
Alex, you think we'll see much of a change from Craig Counsell? He's ultimately an old school baseball man. He looks young, been around the game for a long, long time. I just wonder if he'll have more of an imprint, especially with his coaching staff heading into year two.
Well, I think so. I think he was able to bring in some of his own guys, especially Quentin Berry from Milwaukee. And I mean, even Craig said today, when talking about his dynamic with Seiya Suzuki, I mean, he said it himself that, you know, with the language barrier, there's sometimes where you're lazy when it comes to that. And he thinks that he can go about it in year two a little bit differently and be able to connect with Seiya on a more personal and professional level. And I think that he's been able to do that with all of his players. So I think year one versus year two, I'm not saying it'll be completely different, but Craig will definitely have more comfort in that locker room, more of a basis to have conversations with those players just because of being around them for another season. I think year two can only get better.
Alex Cohen, voice of the Iowa Cubs. We'll also get to hear and see him call some Cubs games as well. Alex, we'll let you go. Although, did you see Saquon Barkley pull the ball boy out of the line of people for the parade and include him in the parade? Did you see that?
I did. I mean, Saquon was definitely he
a gift from God.
He was a superstar in every conceivable way for that Eagles team. What he did on the field, what he did with the locker room, how he was able to mend the bridges between Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown, and how he was able to run for over 2,500 yards, including the regular season and playoffs. I mean, everything that he did felt like a touch gold. So, he's a pretty incredible player and a pretty incredible individual. One other thing that I want to say is, when you think about the Chicago Cubs and being able to start the season in Japan, that series against the Dodgers with five Japanese players, you know, normally when it comes to spring training, you're talking about March, you know, 14th, 15th, 18th, and 19th. It's what, the 20th game of spring training? It's kind of rinse, lather, repeat. Mm-hmm. Now you have a real opportunity as a Cubs fan to be able to watch your team on this platform, global game. You're able to listen to it on the score. You'll be able to watch it on Marquee Sports Network. You're able to, you know, watch all the digital stuff that comes from that. If I'm a fan, I'm really buying into that series because it's not very often you get to do that, see your team do that, and see your players do that. So I'm a big global baseball guy. I think Dodgers-Cubs at the Tokyo Dome is some of the coolest stuff that you'll be able to see all season. So I would recommend people to really dive into that series.
Yeah, agreed, Alex. Although Bob Nightingale in the 6 o'clock hour told us there were 120 reporters at Dodgers camp. He said 85% of them were from Japan, and he says that he expects it to be 90 to 95% Dodgers blue. Although at least it's Cubs blue, so maybe we'll just, you know, pretend. But I think, you know, I think these home games, they should know what they're walking into. I'm sure they won't be very surprised with Shohei Ohtani.
I think obviously the big part of that is Shohei, but don't forget Seiya Suzuki from Tokyo, the Nippon Baseball League MVP before coming out to the Cubs, you know, Premier 12 MVP as well. So I think Seiya will get a nice little ovation there as well.
I bet he will too. Alex, thanks so much for your time. Much appreciated.
Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it. Stay warm, and hopefully we'll be able to talk baseball soon.
Yeah, baseball soon, warmer weather soon. Alex Cohen, voice of the Iowa Cubs, joining us on 670 The Score. Jets Richards here with you until 9 o'clock. You want to respond to anything that he said, 312-644-6767. I did want to, just for a moment, these Tom Ricketts comments he made back in January when Ricketts said, quote, they think somehow we have all these dollars that the Dodgers have or that the Mets have or the Yankees have and we just keep it, which isn't true at all. What happens is we try to break even every year and that's about it. Can I discuss a fan's break even? You know, last year I took my 4-year-old son to a game because he was about a month away from starting T-ball and I couldn't get him to play catch with me, wasn't into it. Couldn't get him to want to swing the bat, something that I was obsessed with until age 26. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to take him to a Cubs game. And if I can get him in the stadium, if I can get him to feel the crowd and smell the ballpark and see how green the grass is, then I can kind of invest in his love of the game. And maybe we'll just, you know, he'll be way more excited to start T-ball. So it was a weekday. It was just me, my son, and my mom came with us. And I got to the ballpark as soon as it opened because I wanted him to have a run of the place. I wanted him to be able to really feel the ballpark before it got very crowded, because chasing around a four-year-old in a packed crowd, you can lose them quickly.
It's tight corners at Wrigley too, man.
It certainly is. So we got in. We felt the ballpark, again, trying to keep his attention span. We made it to a middle second inning before that had run its course, and he was ready to go. And I was also ready to go because I'd been chasing him around for almost 2 hours. We'd done the food, right? I tried to kind of shove some food in his mouth and let me watch the game a little bit. That day cost us about $350 from parking to tickets to concessions. Was about $350 for an inning and a half of baseball. So when an owner says, I'm just hoping to break even, my break even, when I'm paying the top two or top three prices to go to a ball game, my break even is star power. My break even is I better see one of the best lineups in all of Major League Baseball. And if it isn't by way of spending, because this should very much be at least a top seven payroll each and every year, if not a top five, if not a top three. But if you're not going to be there, then you better just be winning. You better be smarter than everybody else and be competitive. Because that's the thing about Ricketts saying, I just want to break even. What it costs to get into your ballpark. 2 years ago, I think it was the most expensive in baseball. Fenway and Wrigley kind of go back and forth between who is the most expensive. But I know that we are paying at least top three. So your break even, we don't get to see your books. I'll tell you my books. $350 at least for parking, concession stands, and tickets to get into the ballpark to watch an inning and a half of baseball. My break even is star power, right? I don't want to see an independent film. I want to see Tom Cruise holding onto the side of an airplane if that's what it costs to get in. That's my break even. 312-644-6767. Let's talk about the Bears. We are heading into free agency and the draft. Does this look like an organization that is changing, that is adapting, that is evolving in front of our eyes? I'll tell you why I think so. Coming up next at 6-7 The Score.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We got a guy who likes to study things, who likes to get in a room, who likes to break things down on film. You know, you would hope that he will study the Bears' history and where the mistakes have been made throughout the years. Because like you guys know, there is a lot of the mistakes seem to repeat themselves no matter who comes into that building. So why? So he has to figure out, you know, I hate to sound like Coach Nagy and get the mirror out, but he has to figure out the why. The why has Hallis Hall been struggling for so long? And make sure you're keeping that away from your football team and you're moving in the right direction in your vision, right? And nobody, and you have to challenge people in that building. If they don't want to come along with your vision, that's why they gave you $13 million, right? That's why they put you there. So then you got to challenge those guys to change the way they think. Because the hardest thing to do in the NFL is to convince people that what has been happening in Hallis Hall is your fault, right? It's part of it is your fault. And the way you've been doing things is wrong and you have to change it.
We're back with more Judson Richards on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
That was a firm take from Owen Kreutz on Ben Johnson, what he'll need to do. Listen, I've been watching this Bears team in recent months, and I do feel like we are watching a team adapt, potentially grow, even if it's slowly. And I think that the direction that you hope that they're heading, they could be heading in that direction. We'll talk about it more in just a moment. 312-644-6767. Just talked the Cubs as well. We talked a lot of Cubs over the last 2.5 hours. If you want to jump in, phone lines are open. 312-644-6767. By the way, that snow is coming down. Take your time. You want to enjoy your Valentine's Day? Don't crash. So just go as slow as possible. Ross is with us in McHenry. Ross, thanks for the call. What are your thoughts on the Cubs?
Hey, I just want to say thank you. Happy Valentine's Day, too. Try not to crash. I'm going to swing by Wingstop real quick. I just went to Jewel, did the Valentine's Day special, some flowers, a balloon, and nice bottle of Pinot Noir.
So for me? For me, I'm doing that well.
What's that?
No, those things aren't for me.
Oh, no. I just wanted to say, we're out here in Chicagoland, everything, having fun right now, driving, just trying to stay safe, on the air. This is kind of exhilarating, got to say.
Well, good for you, Ross. Wait, let your hair down, way to live. What are your thoughts on the Cubs and the break even specifically that we heard Tom Ricketts utter back in January?
I don't know exactly what you're referring to, but I wanted to go in on the price to get into the ballpark. So this is a fascinating topic, because I grew up a Cubs fan growing up in the northwest suburbs, always going to Cubs games, and then I went to my first White Sox game during the playoffs against the Astros. My buddy invited me to go along, and I had a great time at the Sox Park, for the first time experience. And now another buddy of mine moved down there, and he's going to a bunch of Sox games for the value, And now I'm hoping to move down to, the Bridgeport neighborhood. And I got to say, I'm quite excited to get the value out of going to the White Sox game. And it is a two ball team city, so it's just amazing how a team could be top three in the cost. And then, if the Sox struggles, they got to be at the bottom of the grouping there. So it's just a fascinating thing, because I'm quite excited to, being a Cubs fan, I'm probably going to go to,
Yeah, but Ross, what about the quality of baseball? I mean, you could get into a lot. Listen, you could go to a Joliet Slammers game, right? I mean, you could go watch some Frontier League baseball when it comes to cost. What about the value in what you're watching?
Yeah, this is another thing I got to talk about. I got to talk on with the Marquee Network too. I've got the YouTube TV at home, so it's been kind of harder to watch the Cubs. And last year I was fortunate to go to Wrigley one time, and then I caught the Cubs back at the White Sox 2 years ago. And bringing in players has been good. I see this as far as entertainment, the Cubs have been more entertaining, but, you know, disappointing towards the end. So, yeah, if they're going to drop this money for Bregman, you know, they made the offer for 3 years and the Red Sox, you know, made more. I'm not sure if Bregman is necessarily worth that money. Like, I was excited for the prospect of getting him.
Ross, thanks for the call. Here's the thing about what I was saying about the cost of going to a Cubs game. Because, again, Tom Ricketts made the point, the reason why I brought up breaking even is each and every year we hope to break even, right? What comes in, we go ahead and spend it. Now, we have no way to ultimately prove that or know that to be fact. Do we have Tom Ricketts on that? Let's hear from Tom.
I think basically what all, if not maybe almost all teams do,
yeah,
is you bring in all your revenue, pay all your fixed costs, and then give everything else to your baseball organization. So I think, you know, teams try to break even, and in general, you know, maybe it's a few million here, up or down from there. And if you have a better season, maybe you get a little bit extra back. If you have a worse season, maybe you're a little more in the red. And I think that's the way almost every team does it. You know, maybe some teams are, you know, going to go a little deeper in the red this year, but everybody gets to pick their spots and invest the way they want.
So if he's going to break even, then the way that I look at it as a paying customer is our break even is better players and better talent because we are not paying what the rest of the teams around Major League Baseball are asking you to pay to get into their ballpark. The Cubs regularly are in the top three of what it costs to go and see a game, which if they can charge you that amount, which they can because you see how full those stands are, but as a paying customer, my break even is I want to see a better roster. I want to see a more talented team, right? I want to see my payroll of what I'm investing in to be higher than most. Top seven, top five, I think ultimately is what it should be, right? Like if you go to a restaurant and you spend $14 for a cheeseburger, then you got a pretty good idea of what it's going to taste like. But not every restaurant is the same. So if you go and buy a cheeseburger for $72 at a high-end restaurant, then damn it, that cheeseburger better taste better. You don't get to just say, this is what most teams hope to do is break even. But not everyone is charging the same amount of money. Not everyone is bringing in the same amount of money. We know what Wrigley Field looks like in June, July, August, when that ballpark is humming, and it is most of the year. Tom Ricketts' break-even is drastically different than the rest of Major League Baseball. And so if that's what I'm paying for, if I'm paying for that elite burger, I want to see an elite roster. That's my break-even as a paying customer.
And honestly, if you could steam some buns, like I'm tired of dry buns on the hot dogs, all right? That's my one gripe.
$72, you should probably, you should get to look over the chef's shoulder to say,
if I have to pay $9 for a bottle of water, I just hope that the bread on the bun, you know,
yeah,
is what it is.
Now, are we talking about Wrigley or are we talking about at a restaurant?
Ooh, see, I mean, both, but at Wrigley specifically.
Yeah, and they can ask for it because they'll get it. It's a little bit like Alex Bregman. You may be appalled by what the Red Sox gave Alex Bregman. Scott Boras asked for it. They gave it to him. So I'm not necessarily complaining about the prices. I'm just telling you what I expect as a paying customer. Because as Ross said, he'll just go to the rate. And if he wants to watch Major League Baseball, you can do it at a much cheaper cost. But you don't get the pageantry. And you ultimately, especially this year, are not going to get the winning. But Ricketts' break-even is not like everyone else's break-even. That's one thing that certainly should be noted. 312-644-6767. You know, there was a great matchup in Super Bowl 59. Because one thing that we struggle at as humans, Valentine's Day is an interesting night, right? Putting yourself out there is tough. You may be single because you don't like to go and talk to strangers. Guys, you may be single because you don't like going and talking to women. It's putting you outside of your comfort zone. Because we are creatures of habit, right? We like to play it safe. But watching the Super Bowl, you had 66-year-old Andy Reid, one of the best play callers in the game, versus 66-year-old Vic Fangio, the Philadelphia Eagles defensive coordinator, who we know very well here in Chicago, who we know how talented he is, with how long they've been doing it, those two ultimately have found a way to operate outside of their comfort zone. Right? Andy Reid had a pretty damn good playbook back in 2000. In all those years, he went to the NFC Championship game with Donovan McNabb and the Philadelphia Eagles. For him to still be as good as he is, he has had to go outside of his comfort zone. He has had to change. He has had to adapt. And it's one area where not only family-owned businesses often struggle, but specifically it's an area where the Chicago Bears have struggled, right? Where they have done things the same way time after time for a long, long time. And where has it gotten them? Really nowhere since 1985. But as we head into this offseason, I feel like I've seen incremental growth in the Bears, where you're saying, hey, that looks a little different. Hey, you know what? Maybe that'll allow them to keep up with the Joneses. And I'll circle one date, November 29th. Last year, November 29th, when the Bears fired Matt Eberflus in season. That's an organization that had never done that before. And one thing that happens, there is a ripple effect through the building when you do that. And it sends a message. This is not a country club. You can go too. But it also sent out the message early on, hey, if you're potentially a head coach, you may want to start thinking about getting your staff together. And that's what happened with Ben Johnson. That was number one. Number two for me is, it's not that the Bears had this brilliant hiring process that they went through, but they weren't the punchline, right? They weren't the Dallas Cowboys. They weren't the Jacksonville Jaguars with what happened with Liam Cohen. And they weren't the New Orleans Saints. Not that things went that badly for the New Orleans Saints, but they were very late to the party, which means Kellen Moore is going to be late to building his staff. And the Bears very quickly knew that Ben Johnson was interested in them. But if I try to offer you a little bit of excitement, Bears fans, I know how sick and tired you are of hope. I get it. Hope doesn't win you games. If so, then Caleb Williams would have gone 15-2. But the one thing that I will say is, if an organization, if there's one thing I'll say about the Bears, they put up the money. They put up the money for Ben Johnson. They made sure that he was not going to go anywhere else, right? Because even as much as Ben Johnson may have liked Caleb Williams, may have really liked that roster, if they offered him $6 million and the Saints would have offered him $12 million, I bet you that he would have been going to the New Orleans Saints. You have to put up the money. You have to be able to play the game. You have to spend. And if you want to get better quickly, you pay for a head coach. The Denver Broncos did so with Sean Payton. I mean, look at how much dead cap money that they had with Russell Wilson. And Sean Payton still got them back to the playoffs. The Chargers are a very, very cheap organization, famously. What did they do? They put up the money for Jim Harbaugh. They got him back to the playoffs. The Commanders, yes, they got it right with Jaden Daniels. I will also say, you know what? They got it right with Dan Quinn. Dan Quinn took a team to the Super Bowl, took the Falcons to the Super Bowl. Should have been a Super Bowl champ, but they could hold on to a 28-3 lead. But Dan Quinn's a very, very good head football coach, and now I'd probably call him a great head coach with what he's doing with the Washington Commanders. Then there's Ben Johnson. Ben Johnson averaging 33 points a game as an offensive coordinator the last 3 years, right? Yes, Ben has a lot to prove. But you know what? We can look at the Bears, at least I can, and I can say, as of now, they are putting themselves in a place to succeed. Nothing is guaranteed. But find an offseason where hiring a head coach is involved, and they got someone the caliber of what people think Ben Johnson can be. The Bears, for my money, incremental growth. It is incremental growth, but I think you can look at the organization and say they are adapting, they are evolving, probably because they want to figure out how to get a stadium built, and they are changing, hopefully, towards the better. Mike Tauchman, former Cub, now White Sox, I thought did a great interview with Spiegel Holmes. Mark Grody was in for Lawrence today. And I thought that Mike Tauchman gave some sound life advice. That's coming up next on The Score.
We're back with more Judson Richards on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
All right, last stop here with you on 670 The Score. It's been a it's been a busy night. And if you missed anything, again, always check out the Odyssey app. You can find all the 670 The Score shows there. Very cool feature to leave a voicemail. Those can often make the air as well. And again, Bob Nightingale joined us in the 6 o'clock hour, talked about, did the Red Sox overpay? Really enjoyed our conversation with Seren Petro in the 7 o'clock hour. Will Travis Kelce ultimately retire, and could that help the Chiefs hold on to Trey Smith, the offensive lineman that the Chicago Bears certainly have in their sights? He may be the highest paid guard this offseason. You know, Mike Tauchman, Palatine's own, was a Cub, now a White Sox, did, I thought, a great interview earlier today with Spiegel and Holmes, Grody in for Lawrence, and I thought that Tauchman actually gave some really great life advice, especially on Valentine's, right? This is very much of a quantity over quality type thing.
I'm sure you had to deal with this at Wrigley Field. Do your friends come out there and do they yell at you? Do they ever haze you a little bit? I mean, and how much do you acknowledge friends and stuff like that, now that you've been in Chicago with the Cubs and now with the White Sox?
I mean, I only have like three friends.
Oh, no, really?
and like only one or two of them like live in town. The other ones live all over. So,
okay.
You know,
okay.
I mean, I don't, it's not that bad. I did, you know, last year I have a buddy who coaches college baseball, and they were in town playing UIC. We were supposed to have a day game. So I was like, you know, let's grab dinner and whatever. And it was early season. I ended up getting switched to like a you know, a day night doubleheader, I think, against the Marlins. So, I felt bad. So I got him and my other buddy, 1908 tickets or whatever. And so, wow. You know, they were very impressed with
nice.
with the spread, and you know, they told me, you know, I was like, don't embarrass me, guys. You know, it's a nice setup, and they're like, oh, we got our money's worth in the first inning. I'll tell you that. So, and so you know, like that's a one-time thing though. So that was like a special treat. But you know, they enjoy coming out, but you know, nothing crazy.
Yeah, I mean, scout seats at Guaranteed Rate Field are the same vibe.
Mm.
You know, it's like, and you, those same guys, you'll be hoping they don't embarrass you there. Now, you know, just like you did on the north side. I got to tell you, Mike, three friends, that's plenty.
Very manageable.
Yeah, right? I mean, I think that's, at this point in your life, it's like, you don't have time for a lot more than three, do you?
No, I mean, you've been to weddings where there's, you know, 10 or 12 bridesmaids and groomsmen. It's like a lot of people to keep in touch with.
Yeah,
I don't,
that's what I'm saying. Our circles get smaller. It's very natural here in life.
So if like Matt Spiegel here hosting this radio show was to text you and say, hey man, you want to hang out sometime, be friends? You'd be like, I don't really have room right now. I'm a three person maximum right now. I can't, I'm sorry, not right
my
now.
Limit.
I got three friends. I'm
yeah,
good.
I mean, I got a full roster of friends, and I got a newborn baby. So my time is very, very limited.
You know, one of the reasons why I wanted to play that back, one, I think it's great advice, and I said it backwards as I tossed to that. It is quality over quantity.
There we go.
Yeah. It's not having as many friends, even if you don't like them. No. It's about having quality and three friends over quantity, because I couldn't agree more. I had this conversation with my wife, because I have a 4 and 2 year old, and all of the dads and moms out there with kids, you know that you have no time for friends. You have no time for binge watching shows. You have no time for anything. So to hear Tauchman go, listen, I've got like three friends anyways, I just was like, right on, Mike. I feel you. The only difference is Mike is like in a fraternity. You know, it's like, you know, shouldn't you have collected a few friends along the way? Like most of us get out of high school and get out of college and be like, man, I just don't meet people like I used to. No. He is forced into being around like-minded people.
I mean, he was in Korea. Like, how did you didn't make any friends?
Right. Yeah, I mean, he's traveled abroad. And should make, you know, especially, I mean, imagine being in Korea. Was it Korea or Japan?
We've confirmed it is Korea.
Okay, it was Korea. All right. All right, yeah. Yeah, speaks always Japan, terms Korea. But you'd think there's probably a couple other Americans on the team. How could you not forge a real bond with them? He doesn't speak Korean, I'm assuming. No. But great life advice from Mike Tonkman on The Score today. If you've been wondering, why don't I have a fourth friend? You don't need it. The magic number is 3. So I will text my 3 friends. To check to make sure I still have their phone numbers in my phone, but I will text them a happy Valentine's Day. Sean Sears, a happy Valentine's Day to you.
Same to you, man.
And to all the great listeners of 6-7 The Score, please be safe. The snow is coming down. Have a wonderful rest of the evening.